Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As humans, we're doomed to live life far beneath God's intent. But as believers, we're called to the highest life possible, a life lived through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study Power for Life. It will change you. If you are in Christ, then you are called to the highest life possible and imaginable. Life lived through the power and the presence of the very Holy Spirit of God that came into your life the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. Power for Life, that's our topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this daily radio program featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Dr. Chappell and this program when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll visit the website and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ daily devotional. Every day to your email box or to your RSS reader, you'll receive a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a rooted principle, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will challenge your life and take you through the Bible one day at a time, all the way through the Bible this year. We hope you'll join us on our Rooted in Christ study in the Daily in the Word devotional. Find it at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to open our hearts to the Word of God and discover God's power for living our lives today. Today, we discover His power to build. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Here's Paul Chappell.
But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. You see, if someone says, well, here's my business plan, and I'm going to make this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and then this with the kids, and this with my wife, and then I'll buy this. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a business plan, but make sure that God's business is in your plan, you see. Make sure that your family life is a Christian family life, and make sure that you love the work of God and the missions outreach of the local church, and that you're a part of things that are eternal. And these people became rebellious to the point that all they cared about was the temporal and the material, and that led them secondly to an apathy towards the temple. You see, if someone's treasure is always in a boat, a motorhome, fun, they're going to be the first to say, ah, the church is trying to support more missionaries. Ah, the church is trying to raise up another building for the Sunday school children. My friend, we ought always be ready and thankful when the church is marching on and advancing for the cause of Christ. Notice what Haggai said to them in Haggai 1:4. And this house lies in waste. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, all right, you don't want to be a part of the temple. Okay, let's see how you're doing. And notice what he says about those who thought of the temporal. You have sown much, but bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. You ever felt that way? You say, I make more money now than I made 5 years ago, but it's like there's holes in the bottom of the bag. And Haggai the prophet says, all right, Go ahead and forget the temple. Go ahead and forget why you are there in Jerusalem and live for your clothes and live to fill up your bag. But the more you neglect God, the more you're going to find there's holes in your bag. There is a Bible principle, ladies and gentlemen, that says, give and it shall be what? Come on, talk to me. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and running together shall men give into your bosom. Look it, you can live life your way or you can live life God's way. And God was saying this, look it, if you'll seek first my kingdom, then these other things will be added unto you. There will be fewer holes in your bag if you'll honor God, ladies and gentlemen. But this rebellious people forgot all about that. They forgot all about the will of God. And many today are forgetting to the point they're walking away from the will of God and the house of God. USA Today this past week had a story about teenagers and how fewer and fewer teenagers go to church. By the way, that should not surprise us. Fewer and fewer parents go to church. God bless you parents with your children in the house of God. That's called leadership. And that's God's design today for your family. And USA Today said the teenagers are saying, bye-bye church, and they're no longer as interested in church. And it seems, according to the article, they spend more time on Facebook than in the house of God. And parents, you better fight that battle every tooth and nail of the way. Not everything on the internet is wicked, but I'm telling you, they need more of God's book than they need of Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. And it's interesting, the youth groups in America, according to that article, that are growing are not the ones that are having extreme games, this and that, where the youth pastors eat worms and do all this kind of stuff. The youth groups that are growing, according to the article, are the youth groups that have, quote, a marine-like commitment to the Word of God. Seventh graders need to know what the Bible says. And 10th graders need to know what the Bible says. And thank God that we have a growing youth group with hundreds of teenagers in this church, because we are committed not to just having fun. We are committed to rightly dividing this eternal book and helping them to understand how to apply it in their lives, you see. Listen, the chief job of this church is not to entertain you or your kids. Though I enjoy having fun at church. If I can't have fun at church, I don't have much fun, because we spend a lot of time in church. But I'm going to tell you what. If you go to church and have a whole lot of fun and didn't get something from the book, you didn't go to church. How many churches they have, boy, we had some praise and worship, really. And what did you learn from the Bible? And how was your life changed? Boy, we had a great skit or a great drama. Look, there's a place for all these things. But what we need is the Word of God and how we thank God for His Word. And that's why Hebrews 10:25 is so important. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Look, don't take your church attendance lightly as you finish the summer and move into the fall. It's not a take it or leave it. Maybe I'll go to Vegas. Maybe I'll go to the Colorado River. Look, the attitude ought to be, I must get to the house of God. I must get my family to the house of God. I must hear the preaching of the Word of God. I can too easily go astray and ruin my marriage without the preaching of the Word of God. Don't have a take it or leave it attitude. You're not going to have revival on Facebook. You might ruin your marriage on the internet. Get into the Word of God. Get into the house of God and have an open heart. But this rebellious people, they just weren't realizing the purpose of God for their life. God had sent them away from Babylon. He delivered them. And now they were in this place called Jerusalem for the purpose of building the temple, and they forgot why they were there. Hey, you ever wonder why God leaves you on planet Earth? You ever wonder what your purpose is? I got to tell you something. I don't believe He left us here to make another buck. And I don't believe He left us here in order that we can just have another good time. I believe God wants us to live in this world with an eternal consciousness always. How can I further the kingdom of God? Don't rebel at it. Join in with it and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us to the final thought. And here's the good news, folks. That is that there is a replenishing power to do what God has called us to do. Imagine Zerubbabel. He's like the governor of these 50,000 people, right? And these 50,000 people aren't building the temple. They're not interested. Nothing's going right. And now he just doesn't quite know what to do next. And here it is that he has seen a vision in Zechariah 4. And we studied the vision several months ago. It is a vision that depicts, if you will, a lampstand, a sevenfold lampstand. It is a vision upon which the top of the lampstand there are two bowls which are continuously being filled with oil by two olive trees. And the picture that is given by Zechariah is a picture that depicts for them the anointing presence and power of God by His Spirit to touch people's hearts and to change people and to empower people to do what God wanted them to do. And so he sees this vision. And in the vision, first of all, he notices an astounding ability or power by which this work can be done. Zerubbabel, as a leader at this point, may have been considered somewhat of a failure. He has 50,000 people, but nothing to show for it. All they've laid for the temple is the cornerstone. And so he has the vision that is given to him via Zechariah. And then the vision in verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Here we see the astounding ability of God. He is saying to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, this temple will not be built by your might. It's not about a better construction company. It's not about a stronger army. It's not going to be built by your power, by your discernment, or by your understanding. It's not about your leadership, Zerubbabel. It's about my leadership, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Haggai 2 and verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And so we see that God has given an astounding ability by His Spirit. If you today have been born again, then in your life today is the Holy Spirit. And the same power that was being made available to Zerubbabel is available to every born-again Christian today. And yet you must determine, I'm not going to rely on my might or my power, but I will rely upon the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. Now then, it's one thing to recognize the power of God in the Bible. It's one thing to recognize the power of God in the life of Nehemiah, Elijah, the Apostle Paul, and so on. It is another thing entirely to avail yourself to that power. Now, you can go on in life as a squeaky wheel tractor trailer about ready to pull over and burn up, or you can consider the truth that there is a God in heaven who lives within the bosom of the saved man and who wants to strengthen you and teach you how to love and how to give and how to forgive and how to live this life that He's given to you. And you can live it by His strength, you see. And that is what we speak of when we speak, secondly, of this anointing help. That is to say that God not only shows us an astounding ability, but He says, I want to help you personally. I want to encourage you personally with this astounding ability. In Zechariah 4 and verse 14, the Bible speaks of those two olive trees. And it says of them, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I believe that verse is speaking of Zerubbabel and Joshua. And God said, these men are anointed. They have my power to help do the work that I've called you to do. Now we learn of this word anointing in the New Testament as well. Notice in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see the anointing in the Old Testament. We see the anointing in the life of Jesus, our precious Savior. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he which establisheth us with you is Christ, in Christ, and hath anointed us is God. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in his truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In other words, the anointing was present in the Old Testament in the life of Jesus, and it is available for the Christian today who wants God's anointing and leadership and lubrication, if you will, in the sense of helping us to move smoothly through life according to His plan and according to His power. I'm saying to you this morning, the only power that is necessary to build spiritual buildings is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that builds families. It is the Holy Spirit of God that teaches a man how to love and teaches a wife how to submit to her husband with a sweet spirit. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens when a man or woman is filled with the Spirit? They speak to themselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They give thanks. Look at verse 21. I'm preaching the Bible this morning, not my opinion. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. My friend, when you are filled with the Spirit, the Bible does say, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. I'm telling you, you can't love your wife with a Christ-like love in your power, but by the Spirit, you can love your wife in that way. The average woman today laughs at Ephesians 5. What do you mean submit to a husband? Ha! I'm a feminist. I need a man about as much as a fish needs a bicycle. I can stand on my own. I understand, ma'am, but I also understand what the Bible says. And the Bible still says that a godly wife will support her husband. And that's not going to happen if you're doing it your way. It's only going to happen as you walk in the Spirit, my friend. You see. What I'm saying is to live the Christian life according to the text of the Bible isn't possible on your own. In fact, the unsaved person doesn't even want to. But if you're saved this morning, your heart's desire is to live according to this book. And the way to do it is by His Spirit. Say, well, I think what I need to do is come in for counseling. All right, fine, come on in for counseling. I've had many classes in counseling. I've got some degrees in Bible counseling and so forth. Come on in. I can share some verses with you and some principles with you. But here it is, my friend. You can come in for counseling, and I can speak to you until I am blue in the face and you are red in the face. And unless you are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, none of the counsel matters. You see, there comes a point when a man who has been wrong by the Spirit's leading has to say, sweetheart, I have sinned and I am wrong and I ask you to forgive me. Watch this. I can't make him say that. There comes a point when a woman that has been hurt has to say, I've been bitter against you. I've not appreciated you. And I've been wrong towards you. And I ask you to forgive me. And watch this. I don't care how many degrees you have, I can't make you say that. But there is a God in heaven whose Spirit comes to and fro and works in the hearts of people. And I'm telling you, when God starts to touch hearts, great things happen. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that builds families. It's the Holy Spirit that builds Christian servants. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. My friend, God has given to you within your heart an ability to serve in some way, an ability to help in serving others. And I'm simply saying to you that God doesn't want you to waste that. And if you'll follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, He'll show you how you can serve God with joy and what a joy it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it's the Holy Spirit that builds Christian families. It's the Holy Spirit that puts Christian servants into the ministry. It's the Holy Spirit, may I say, that builds the church. Think about that. Say, well, Pastor Chapel, I thought you and the staff build the church. Wrong. First of all, a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. Every member around here is a minister of Jesus Christ. But let me say furthermore, the pastor doesn't build the church. The Lord builds the church. The Lord added to the church such as should be added. Now, I'm to go out soul winning. Jesus said, go into all the world. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. But watch this. I cannot lead someone to the Lord in my strength. It is only the Holy Spirit that can touch and change a heart. You see. So whether it's building your family life, whether it's the building of the work of God, then we must have the anointing help of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And so here it is, and we conclude. a returning remnant. Oh, free at last, free at last. They leave Babylon. They come back to Jerusalem. They have their homes. They have their jobs. They're back home after a terrible time in Babylon. There's only one problem. They developed a rebellious heart. And instead of fulfilling their purpose for God, they just did what they wanted to do. And right when Zerubbabel was thinking, what are we going to do about this problem? God comes to him with a replenishing power. And he says, Zerubbabel, that temple can be built if you'll build by the power of my spirit. How about it today? You're going to keep going through life like a squeaky wheel tractor trailer about ready to burn up on the side of the road? Or would you come today and forsake sin and seek God's filling and ask his spirit to help and guide you? There might be someone here today who's never even accepted Christ as Savior. I mean, honestly, if I were to ask you one-on-one, if you died, do you know that you would go to heaven? You really don't know. You really don't know that the Holy Spirit of God is living in your life. Did you know that today you could settle that most important question? And the Spirit of God could begin to guide and direct your life. What a great thing that would be. Some of you heard about the plane crash with Senator Stevens in Alaska. His life was lost and others were lost as well. In reading about those plane crashes, I came across an article in which they stated that in the last 5 years there have been 238 such small plane crashes in which 29 people have lost their lives. Tom Harper from the National Transportation Safety Board said that the single greatest cause for these crashes in the vast majority is what he called fuel exhaustion. That's fancy terms for they ran out of gas. And then he said this, it is surprising that trained pilots will knowingly push it and come up short. A guy who's been through how much school and how much training and how many test flights, and he looks at that gauge and he thinks, well, if I economize a little here and catch the draft here and, you know, this and that, I think I'll be okay. And 238 times in the last 5 years, he wasn't okay, and it ended with a crash landing. How many Christians today sit in this room? Well, you know, it's August. I'm doing okay. You know, I'm here in church. I'm doing okay. We're floating along here. I know I'm running on empty. I'm potentially going to burn out in my flesh, in my own selfish ways. I hear what Pastor's saying. He's saying, I need to seek the fullness of God's Spirit. I can't live this life in my power. I need God's Spirit. And I wonder how many Christians today are going to just do a flyby. You're going to tip the wing and look down in this church and hear this message, but you're going to do a flyby. And I wonder how many in this room this morning are going to go ahead and do a landing this morning and come up to the front, seek some counsel, do whatever it takes and say, Spirit of God, I want to live by your power and by your strength. And I want to wake up tomorrow morning and say, Spirit of the living God, show me how to live today. Let me hear your still small voice. Let me be a better husband, a better wife. Help me to turn away from sin. Help me to turn the way I should go. I don't want my life like Senator Ted Stevens on the side of a mountain crashed. I want my life to go on for your glory. How many today need to take a landing and need to seek a filling as God's word commands? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth that is given even to a rebellious, selfish people, that if you have given to us a promise for mercy and power, you will provide it. I pray that that promise would be sought after by many today.
You've been listening to Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying power for life, what it means to live life each and every moment of every day with the guiding power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That presence and that power changes everything. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you're not a believer, we invite you today to make that decision to invite the Savior to come into your life, to let His Holy Spirit take up residence, and then you can begin this dynamic daily relationship, moment by moment, experiencing the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Before we go, I want to tell you about a couple of resources that we hope will strengthen your walk with Christ. First, a companion book to this series, Power for Life. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. It's written by Dr. Chappell. It's a powerful paperback book that will be a tremendous companion in your daily devotional life, and it will help you discover the unfolding daily work of power and grace and transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in your heart now that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's again entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. You can find out more about it when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. It's also available at amazon.com in paperback form and also for the Amazon Kindle. We hope you'll take a look at it real soon. Next, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find recent broadcasts. You can subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take the preaching and teaching of Dr. Chappell on your iPod or computer and listen to it anytime at your convenience. But very importantly, we've redesigned our daily devotional. We're calling it this year Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box or RSS reader or to your website bookmark page, you'll find a very encouraging daily word of encouragement and devotion. And it's followed by an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. It's a free subscription, and we believe that it will help you to become more rooted in Christ in the new year. You can subscribe to it by going to dailyintheword.org and clicking on today's devotion. Again, dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.